my ego said that said otherwise. I thought that I could bring in enough people, and sometimes it's hard, kind of that word vegan. Even if I'm making the best pizza, which, you know, I'm so confident in the bread that's everything's sitting on. It's just, if you don't have cheese or you don't have pepperoni, it's gonna be tough to get people in here.
From a childhood in Seattle eating frozen DiGiorno to a career in audio engineering in LA, and eventually one of the city's premier vegan pizzerias that realized a pivot to animal protein was going to have to be undertaken. The story behind Hot Tongue, straight ahead.
Straight fryer pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. Reminder, Pizza Expo coming up March 19 and 20 in Las Vegas. Yours truly is going to be there on the floor, booth 1882 with Prolux, my new best friends. I'm going to be showing the world how easy it is to make great tavern-style pizza every day. So be sure to swing by booth 1882 if you're at the show this year. Pizza City Fest LA tickets now on sale. It's happening April 27 and 28. Again, at LA Live, right downtown, we've got 20 different pizza makers on site each day, baking live on those brand new Mara Forni electric ovens and a couple of wood-burning ones as well. Tickets on sale now, pizzacityfest.com. Well, this week I'm back in LA, where I just visited about a half dozen pizzerias, some who are going to be at Pizza City Fest, and others like Flower in Pacific Palisades that I just heard about. It's great, by the way. Real New York-style slices there. So anyway, I wanted you all to meet Alex Koons. We've been communicating on Instagram last couple of months. I invited him to Pizza City Fest. When I was there in December, I picked up a bunch of pizza to take to a friend's party. His gluten-free, by the way, was fire. So while we were there, I had his tomato pie, a traditional square, and was just blown away by the texture, the quality, the lightness, the airiness, the crumb. Lovely crust as well. We're going to talk more about his dough on the show today. Alex is a character for sure. He's got a wacky, fun Instagram, and I loved his advice about just not giving a shit what other people think anymore. It's sort of freeing when you think about it. Anyway, I began, as I always do, by asking our guest about his first pizza memory.
So honestly, the most pizza and like the pivotal pizza that was in my household was DiGiorno. DiGiorno, spicy chicken DiGiorno, and Hidden Valley Ranch. That was the mainstay. My parents didn't like really take us out a lot. There were six kids, six mouths to feed. So DiGiorno, and then when we got a little fancier, it was Costco. Costco pizza was a big deal.
So you adding the Hidden Valley Ranch to the part of that description would then tell someone that you're probably from the West Coast.
Yes, 100% from the West Coast. And I my area code is actually in the Hidden Valley. I find ranch to be delectable, delicious, savory, perfect. Perfect for pizza, tomato sauce and cheese. I'd put ranch on anything though.
That's a great argument. Okay, well, so six kids, so you're eating pizza out of a frozen pizza typically. How did you get into this game though, where you're now so focused on the opposite end of that, which is all about time and temperature and flour and fermentation?
I would say that I have more of an obsession with bread than I do pizza. The importance of a good foundation, which is your bread recipe for like all your toppings sit on, that's what's most important to me. The driving force in that is like, instead of like getting candy when I was a kid, I would drive up to the bakery and, or ride my bike up to the bakery, and I would get like a loaf, like a baguette, and I would eat a baguette by myself. I would crush the whole thing. I was a little chubby.
Me too.
Yes, but that was what I was excited about, like a warm baguette. Like, I've always loved bread.
So as a teenager, were you working in restaurants at all? Were you around food as a young adult?
I worked at a grocery store, actually. So I bagged groceries, and then I worked in produce, which was cool because it was like a huge grocery store. crazy produce. They had like, you know, dragon fruit and all kinds of stuff that, like, you know, I wouldn't have been exposed to if I hadn't been in like this like 20,000 square foot produce section, which was super cool. And then my next job was pizza delivery driver.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. My car has smelled like pizza for the last 15 years. My wife will not even get into it because it's still covered in flour. So not much has changed since I was about 22.
Can you say who you were working for then?
Yeah, I started with Tomato Pie Silver Lake, which is actually just like a mile up the road.
I just drove by there the other day. I should have gotten out of my car and gone and try it. Did I miss something?
You should definitely try it. In 2006, they opened, and that's where I met Crew, who's just visiting me after 2 years, who's sitting in this restaurant right now. I was almost on the brink of like having to go home after a studio got shut down. I used to work in music as an engineer, and it was like I had gone on 20, I know you didn't ask for the story, but you're getting it, like 20, 30 job interviews in the summer of 2006, 2007, I think. Anyways, I got a job there, and it basically I was a week away from driving back to Seattle to go back home. But they have been making stellar, like, New York-style pizza. The owners from Syracuse, and some of the best that before, like, the pizza explosion in Los Angeles. But, yes, they still make great pie.
By the way, for folks who obviously can't see this, he's legitimately into bread because he's wearing a Bub and Grandma's hat, which, as people in L.A. know, is one of the best places to get bread.
I am literally obsessed with their bread. The first time I tasted Andy's bread, it was a religious experience, and I've read his book, and I just admire that dude, and that bread is super inspirational.
He spoke at, he was on a Dough Whisperers panel at Pizza Fest last year, and for those who don't know, he makes a lot of the dough for Nancy Silverton, which is no small shake. So you mentioned Seattle, so that Seattle is where was home?
Seattle is where I was born, yes.
Tell us about this LA pizza wave. I mean, I've seen it coming for a little while. You've got this store here in Silver Lake, but it's been coming for a little bit, right? It hasn't been the last year, but it hasn't been 10 years old either.
You know, Prime came along, and after Prime, there was a bit of an explosion, but then obviously the pandemic happened, and all these dudes that were selling pizza out of their house are now some of the best pizza in the city. You have Sean from Secret Pizza LA. You have Lasordas, who you know, Tommy. You have Ozzy, who just got the crazy review from Dave Portnoy, and good luck getting a pizza from him. So, like, just those are three to name, but there is just a huge surge of great pizza that has happened in just, like, the last 4 years.
Okay, so what's the story behind Hot Tongue? How did you decide to do this? When did you decide to do it? And what was your thought in terms of your style you're going to do?
Well, it was basically also born kind of out of the pandemic. It started as an all-vegan pizza shop, and that was something that, like, I found very challenging. I had already been making a lot of vegan pizza.
There's something like two cities in America you could do that in.
Yes, well, you're going to say New York and...
maybe San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I don't even know if you can do it in L.A. I mean, like, and if you can, you have to be okay with maybe limiting yourself, and that's kind of what I found in this last year when we switched to a full meat and cheese operation. My ego said otherwise. I thought that I could bring in enough people, and sometimes it's hard, kind of, that word vegan. For some people is a little tough to get over. Even if I'm making the best pizza, which, you know, I'm so confident in the bread that's everything sitting on, it's just, if you don't have cheese or you don't have pepperoni, it's gonna be tough to get people in here.
Yeah, you can't, could you say plant-based pizza or that?
Yeah, you can say plant-based, but even that is like a little wishy-washy and.
All right, so how long did you go with the vegan, and then how long did it take you to give up?
It was, give up. It was 18 months we did a full vegan menu, and you know what? There was a lot of other factors, like such as personal situations, what was going on in the economy, like the writer strike was, I'm trying not to swear, was brutal on LA. So like 5 months were like pretty scary, and there was really no recovering. And so this was kind of like a fast pass to getting newer people in here.
Okay, but the dough has not changed. That recipe stayed the same. You just decided to start bringing in cheese and pepperoni and other things.
Yeah, no, it didn't change. I mean, we actually have made some tweaks because we use a liquid mozzarella for our vegan cheese recipe and then putting actual cheese on it. Like we had, the dough wasn't as gassy. It wasn't like we weren't getting the spring that we wanted. The crumb wasn't as big. So we did have to make some adjustments with water and dough flour proportions. But for the most part, it stayed the same.
In terms of style, would you say it's kind of a nod to the East Coast? It looks like little larger slices, and then you do some squares. I had a tomato pie here that was a Sicilian square-ish. Can you pigeonhole your style of pizza here?
No, I mean, I wouldn't. I've never made pizza on the East Coast, so most pizza is round, and the big slices are actually from Costco. Like, they sell big-ass slices, too, so I would say it has nothing to do with the East Coast. I mean, no one here is from the East Coast, but, you know, pizza and slice shops did start over there. So you could say it's kind of a nod to that, but.
And do you concern yourself with, like, who's nearby? Like, you mentioned Lasorda's. They're just on the other side of Silver Lake. There's a place called Wood next to that. There's Pizza Palace doing their Indian thing. There's a lot of pizza in this neighborhood already. How do you delineate? How do you separate what you do? Or just to keep your head down and say, I'm going to make the best pizza I can?
Yes. Basically, do what you want to do. You know what? What I'm trying to do right now is do more of what I want to do and give a fuck less of what other people want me to do. And I got so caught up in the last couple, like, year tearing my hair out, trying to figure out, like, why we couldn't get people in, blah, 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 and worrying about what the customer is going to think if we do this or we do that. And it's like, I just don't give a shit anymore. So we're going to do exactly what we want to do, what we believe in, how we think it should be done. We're going to run our Instagram however we want. We're going to be goofy. We're going to, you know, do crazy shit with our bread and stuff that isn't traditional. And that's what we're going to do. And hopefully people like it. So many people are afraid of people not liking them. And so sometimes you shy away from who you actually are. And I think that, like, being in this industry for so long, I just got to, like, just be me. And if you like it, great. If you don't, hey, like you said, there's tons of other places you can go eat at.
That's great business advice. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking to Alex Koons here at Hot Tongue in Silver Lake in LA. We're going to take a look a little bit closer at the pizza that he makes, talk some specifics and ingredients. We're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks, so stay with us. And welcome back to the show. We're here at Hot Tongue in Silver Lake with Alex Koons, the owner, and Michael's going to be building a pizza for us. Alex is going to kind of do the play-by-play. Let's talk about, well, you do two now. You do a Sicilian and you do a typical round. Michael's going to make a Sicilian, yeah?
He's making the Sicilian. That is correct.
Does that become more popular now? Or?
This is actually one of our most popular pizzas. The squares here are very popular.
They look great in the front case, by the way. This looks like a big Lloyd pan.
Yes, Lloyd.
10 by 14?
No, that is 16. 10 by 16.
10 by 16, okay, and it's quite deep. Okay, and then let's talk about, before Michael goes any further, let's talk about the flour a little bit. Can you talk about flour?
Oh, let's talk about flour. We got a 4-flour blend. We got 4-flour blend. Next time you come by, it might be 6.
The quad flour, okay.
You know, it sounds more impressive with the more flour you use, but really we feed the starter with High Mountain central milling, and then we use the ABC flour, a Karen Springs T85 espresso, and then their whole wheat espresso.
So when you said you'd feed it, you'd get an all-natural starter?
All-natural starter here, sourdough, very pretentious.
How long, of course they are.
Yes.
How long have you had that?
It's 1,000 years old. It's actually from the prehistoric ages. It's Jesus's sourdough. Yeah, I think it was actually from a bakery we got that closed, but like 2015. And who knows? It's been thrown away and brought back to life more than anyone from Grey's Anatomy. So
amazing. Yeah. I love your references, by the way.
And
then what about fermentation? Overnight, 2 days?
Fermentation. We are looking at 2 days is the best. Anything over 2 gets a little wacky. 5, it turns back into a starter. But 2 is our favorite. But we'll push it to 3 or 4.
And you typically par bake these? Because Michael just took out a shell, it looks
That's
like.
That's right. We par bake all the squares. So I like the flavor better.
In your Pizza Master here behind you?
That's right. This Ferrari is, it goes fast. It does not go slow. You know what I'm saying?
Got a three deck here. I'm going to guess it's a 900 series because those look like 18-inch stones.
Right.
So it's a 933.
That's correct. That's correct. You win a prize.
Thank you. I'll get a slice later. Okay. You par bake these at what, 500 or so?
520 degrees for 10 minutes.
I just greased up the pan with a little olive oil. Later on, we'll start. So
it looks like there's already some sauce on there.
Yeah, we do 6 ounces of our pizza sauce for the par bake.
Okay, and can you talk about sauce too, or is that proprietary?
Oh yeah, dude, our sauce is Stanislaus. We use tomato magic, and literally just has salt in it. Okay, we let the Stanislaus sing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you should. It's a beautiful product. Okay, and then Michael's gonna start topping with cheese or what?
So we're actually gonna make this vegan. So this is going to be, just start with some fresh garlic on the bottom because we don't have garlic in any of our sauce. And this is our mozzarella, our liquid mozzarella. We call it drip, but this is basically cashew, water, some spices, some magic, some koji, some miso.
Koji, interesting, a little Japanese, a little umami.
That's right, and it's made here in Los Angeles.
So you make this liquid mozzarella yourself?
That's right.
So for somebody who said you were making this pivot after the pandemic to sort of not all vegan, I still look up in your case, you've got 4 or 5 vegan pizzas.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still a place. I mean, it's not like, hey, we're only selling meat or whatever, you know. It's still a place for everybody. We just added the things. You could almost, I make the joke now that it's like we're a vegan slice shop with meat and cheese options.
Yeah, because you've expanded your potential customer base, yeah.
100%.
Okay. When you do go that route, can you name check like your sausage or pepperoni?
That we're using?
Yes.
Ezzo, and shout out to Pontrelli Maestro. Their sausages, fire.
Yeah, I was in Columbus actually in December. I got to see Darren and the whole plant, how they make the pepperoni.
Very cool.
Very cool stuff. Okay, so Michael just added the liquid, what'd you call it, the drip?
That's the drizzy drip.
Okay, and then what?
Okay, and then we're going to hit it with some fresh basil.
That's for some large basil leaves.
Yeah, it's definitely GMOs.
Okay, like raised by like Amish people in Ohio or something, or what?
No, yeah, we're growing that basil out back, just right on the side of the building, 100% organic.
Okay, and then here comes a little bit of ladle of sauce. Yep. This is the tomato magic?
Yep, that is literally tomato magic right there.
So Michael's doing this sort of fancy, impressive application here where he's just going little diagonal lines.
Yeah, that's not easy.
It's not easy with a big ladle to do that in a thin line. So he's got about 5-6 lines there, and now this looks like what, pesto or something?
Yeah, house-made pine nut pesto.
Oh, he's going a crosshatch pattern here.
Yeah.
I'll get a picture of this and post this as well.
Yes, beautiful. Look at the precision.
Yeah. Now, dollops of what?
Those are dollops of almond ricotta.
Ground up ricotta.
That's right. Ground up almonds, more magic, little lactic acid, just pure deliciousness.
And you make all these in-house?
Everything is made in-house. The one thing we do not make in-house, which we used to, is our vegan pepperoni. Everything besides the spices is either made in here or grown out in the back.
Amazing. Okay, Michael, how long is this going to bake at what temperature?
12 minutes at 520 degrees.
Okay, so no, 520. So your top deck here is at 620. Is that for your round pies?
Yep. And then the top two decks are for round pies, and then the bottom is for squares exclusively and sometimes slices. We cook at 623 because Michael Jordan had 6 championships, and that's what's up.
Baker's Pride, a small oven up here for reheats. Is that on purpose or just because it fits?
No, we got that because Out of Sight has one.
That's so funny. Really?
No, but I just listened to that podcast and I was like, Baker's Pride is what I cooked on before changing to Pizza Master. Okay. And so like, I like their product. They make great ovens, and this is a nice little electric, they call it like an electric pretzel oven, and it's perfect for slices.
Are you of the belief that pizza, like in a shop like this, should be made first and then left to rest and cool and then reheated to order? Or do you like when it comes out of the oven, you cut it, you serve it?
I think the best way to eat a slice is with the reheat. I think there is something really special that happens in that second heating up of that. You get that crispier bottom. It like brings the slice back to a life that it didn't have.
Certainly helps if the dough is made properly though too, because it can withstand that reheat.
100%.
Did you realize that it was going to be that much work when you decided to open up Hot Tongue?
Yes, I did. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and you can't really leave the shop for that long. You need to be here to keep your eyes on things, right?
No, because I have a lot of trust for Michael, who's behind you, and then our general manager, Andrew, in the back. And if I could say anything to anyone is being able to trust people and give, be able to get out of the shop as soon as possible instead of stay in there too long. It's the belief that things are not going to be as good if you leave. And sometimes that could be true, right? The saying is like 85%, maybe you'll get 85%. But I think with like the right processes, the right training, and the right trust, anyone should be able to do what you do, if not better, and they can.
Your advice sounds so wise, like you've been doing this for many, many years, and your pizza shop's only a couple of years old. You also do some kind of consulting, don't you, on the side? Or I saw on your website there's some consulting.
Well, so I've been an owner of Purgatory Pizza as well. I'm a 50% shareholder. I'm outside of day-to-day now, but and I've been doing that since 2017. But really, like, that was kind of my first consulting situation, this is how I like to look at it, because when I went in there in 2015, I was grossing $380,000. And when I kind of took a step back, we were at like 2.6 million. So it was the right processes. It was like having the writing on the wall, making sure, like, you know, a lot of owners, like, we'll just expect people to read our minds. So many times, all right, I go up to them, I say, why didn't you do this? And they go, well, no one ever told me. And I was like, I swear I told you. You know what I mean? And it takes somebody to tell you that three or four times for you to be like, you know what? Where are the checklists? Where is the process for this thing? Why am I expecting all these people just to read my mind? If you expect people to read your mind, you're never leaving your shop.
You're like the McKinsey or the Boston Consulting of pizza, it sounds like. All right, give us a little preview. We rarely get to interview people before a pizza fest, but since I'm here and the timing works out, Pizza Fest coming up April 27, 28 here in LA. What are you going to do for it? You're doing one flavor like everybody else. What are you going to do?
We're doing the tomato pie. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of squares, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know, that was not going to be my plan, but when you came in 8 and you said, yo, you should do this, I was thinking, you left, and I was like, I wasn't really planning on doing it, but if I love my bread recipe that much, it's the best way to show somebody how much we love our bread here, how much we love the crust. It's just sauce. There's nothing to hide behind. We're gonna do it simple, and hopefully people like it. And we're gonna serve sides of ranch with it.
I'm hoping you can hear that crunch, because the undercarriage on this is so light. Golden brown, 3 or 4 shades of brown. Beautiful crumb throughout this slice on the topping. You know, it's so funny. I love cheese pizza. I love a standard pepperoni or a sausage. I'm not missing anything by having the drip and the pesto and everything. I mean, it gives it so much flavor as it is. So you really put some thought into this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of love, a lot of time. Like, you know, making stuff that you want to be as good, if not, or be of the same playing field as like Grande or, you know, whatever, you have to work your ass off, and that's what we were trying to do.
But end of the day, it is about the crust, and like you said, you hang your hat on this crust, and you pick it up, and it looks substantial. This is a pretty nice slice, but you can see that it's light as well. Is that because of the moisture, hydration in there, or what?
That's got to be the hydration, the grain, and just like the amount of time that we let it rise.
So delicious. I mean, the fact that this is going to be at the fest, I'm really excited about, because I'd rather you show this off than ever. I mean, there's no shame with the other slices, but this is really a special slice.
I agree. I mean, you can see all the magic. You can feel and taste it. I mean, and also what I love about that slice is it looks a little aggressive, a square slice, but you take one bite and you're like, holy shit, this is so light and airy.
Kind of how I felt about De La Nona and Justin's at Apollonia's back in the day. Okay, last question. We ask all of our guests the same thing. Knowing what you know now about pizza making, after your, 10, 11 years or so of being into this more full time, what would you have told your younger self in 2013, 2014 to be successful before you get into the pizza game? What would you told your younger self to be successful?
I'm getting goosebumps. I would tell myself to chill out. I would say relax. Take a day off, spend some time with your fiance. I lost like 3 years thinking that I had to work 14-hour shifts, and that was a lot of time I could have spent with my wife and my family and my friends. And I wish somebody would have just told me, hey, it's not that serious. Have a day, put your phone down, it's going to survive without you. Just chill the fuck out.
Great advice, as always. I want to take some of your classes. You're really, you know what you're talking about, and you've obviously lived this experience. So the restaurant, again, is called Hot Tongue. It's in Silver Lake in Los Angeles. Put some time in your calendar when you're in Los Angeles to stop by and see Alex Koons and Michael. They do a great job here. And get a square and a slice. Alex, thanks so much. Looking forward to seeing you at Pizza City Fest.
Thank you so much for coming in, Steve. I really appreciate it.
All right, coming up in 2 weeks, we're back in Chicago talking tavern style, excuse me, Chicago Thin, with a pizzeria on the west side approaching 60 years in business.
Yes, I mean, I was always involved. Like growing up, I would answer phones or work at carryout. As I got older, I served, I hosted.
I think consistency, quality products, and just staying on top of things.
I'll speak with the second generation in charge at Salerno's. That's in 2 weeks on March 15th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Love to know what you think about the show. Always, reminder to support the show at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.